Familiarity breeds contempt. I'm sure you've heard that little saying. And those words were spoken to me by a lady called Vera when I was working in the Belfast City Mission. I got to know Vera very well and had invited her on a number of occasions to the mission hall. And every time I invited her, she'd come up with a fresh excuse. Nevertheless, I kept calling with her and kept inviting her along. And what a joy it was when she said, "Yes, I'll come to the harvest service." She kept her word. She came along, but I wasn't prepared for what happened next. Vera told me that she enjoyed being at the meeting. She told me that the people in the mission hall had made her feel very welcome. But she says, "I'll not be back," because familiarity breeds contempt. Those who know and love the Lord as their personal Savior, later on in this service, we'll meet around the Lord's table. We'll partake of the sacrament of communion. But I wonder, as another communion season has come around, I wonder today, has familiarity bred routine? Maybe when you first became a communicant member, you took that matter more seriously. And as the communion season came around, you were spending time in prayer. You were preparing your heart to receive the elements of bread and wine. You had anticipation, indeed, expectation, that as you would meet around the table, that indeed that you would know that touch afresh from the Lord. But maybe as the years have come and gone, that has turned and has turned more into a ritual and a routine in your life rather than an expectation. Maybe the truth is you never ever think of attending a pre-communion service. And it's possible even for someone as you came through the door that you were caught off guard. I forgot it was communion. And no longer is there thankfulness in your heart, but rather there's a certain amount of weariness as you meet around the Lord's table to remember his supreme sacrifice. In Luke 17, we read of the healing of the 10 lepers. And there's no doubt that those men must have been very weary. They had an incurable disease and they were outcasts in society. And those men, they had so little to look forward to. Luke's account of the healing of the 10 lepers, well, it's a very simple story to grasp. The 10 lepers stood afar off, and when they saw Jesus, they cried out to him for mercy. Jesus commanded them to show themselves to the priest, and as they obeyed, they were cleansed, they were healed. Only one returned to thank the Lord, but the other 9 were never heard of again. The man who gave thanks received a special word of assurance from the Lord Jesus. And in many ways, that's the miracle of the 10 lepers in a nutshell. We know it very well. But afresh, I want us to stop to consider this miracle in more detail. And as we meet around the Lord's table, may that come and challenge us even afresh today. The first lesson that we draw from this passage is that no one has ever called on the Lord Jesus for help and called in vain. Verse 13 records the call and the cry of the lepers. They cried out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And their cry was earnest, for even a leprous man may be sure of the Lord's help. Thank God, no one is too diseased. No one is too ill. No one is too sinful. No one is in too great of a difficulty to call upon the Lord Jesus and receive his gracious blessing. It's a wonderful thing to remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus was no respecter of person. He was willing to hear the Jews, and he was also willing to hear the Samaritans. In Romans 10 and verse 13, we read, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone, of course, is an inclusive word. Men, women, young people, children, black, white, whatever color you are, rich, poor, Protestant, Catholic. Everyone who calls genuinely on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe today as you sit in this meeting house, you can look back and you can think, well, I remember making that call. You made that call and you know that you're saved. But somehow, or for some reason, you've lost the joy of your salvation. And it is more like just going through the ritual and the routine. And if that's how you're feeling today, then let me encourage you to look afresh at the elements and remind yourself of Christ's amazing love for you as an individual. He willingly endured the punishment on the cross so that you as an individual could be forgiven. And so the question I would ask you today is that realizing afresh how much the Lord Jesus loves you, why? Why would you want to follow afar off? Why would you simply want to go through the ritual and the routine of sitting around the Lord's table? Has it just become a familiar thing for you to do? Oh, the 10 lepers were in trouble. And again, as we apply that to ourselves today, maybe there's someone in this meeting house who feels they're engulfed in trouble. It could be a personal issue that no one else knows about. Maybe it's trouble with your health or the health of a loved one. And every waking moment you're filled with that matter, that situation. What if? And that what if is getting bigger and bigger and is somewhat haunting you. Perhaps for someone else it could be financial trouble, and that trouble hangs over you like a dark cloud and you never really seem to be able to get your head lifted. Loneliness, well, that's a trouble that I know very little about. But yet for many of you, as I've visited you, that's a real trouble. And as the days get shorter and the nights get longer, it just seems to highlight that loneliness all of the more. Or possibly for someone sitting here in God's presence, your trouble is a spiritual one. Maybe again, that's a Christian. Yes, you've put your trust in the Lord, but you're struggling. You're struggling today with doubt. You're struggling with a lack of assurance. And you're here, yes, you're here in body, but your mind's all over the place. And yet God comes and says, look, you're my child. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you've come into this meeting house. I'm glad if you know and love me that you want to remember my death through these elements. Or maybe it's someone who's not yet a Christian. And deep down you're troubled. Deep down you're troubled because you know that if you died, you would not be going to be with God in heaven, but rather you would be separated from him for all eternity in hell. Is that the trouble that you find yourself in this morning? I don't know what your trouble is, but here is what I do know. I knew that whatever the trouble is, that if you call upon God, he will undertake for you. He will. The Word of God gives us a special promise to those who find themselves in trouble. Psalm 50 and verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me." Whatever your trouble is, if you've come through those doors today, there's trouble. You're thinking, "I don't know what way to turn now." Turn, please, to God. He's the one that we can turn to in the day of trouble. He's the one that can help us. Those 10 lepers that day, they called on the Lord, and he heard them, and their call was not in vain. And likewise today, if you're in trouble, then let me encourage you to call on the Lord. He will hear your cry. Let's move on to the second lesson we learned from this miracle. And that is that the Lord does not deal with everyone in the same way. It was the priest who pronounced the men as being lepers and cast them out of society to die. And that's why here in the passage, verse 14, Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." It was the priest who had put them out. And so Jesus said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," so that the priests could allow them to come back in. That's how the lepers were dealt with in this passage. But if you go back in Luke chapter 5, you'll read there of how Jesus healed just one man with leprosy. And on that occasion, in Luke 5 and verse 13, it informs us that Jesus did something completely different. Because on that occasion, he didn't say, "Go, return to the priest." But on that occasion, Jesus reached out and he touched the man with his own hand. One was sent to the priest. One knew that touch from the Lord. But then we go back further and into the Old Testament. We read of Naaman, who had leprosy. You remember that story even from Sunday school days. And in order for him to be cleansed, he had to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He was a bit repulsed by that. That dirty old river, he didn't really want to do that. But of course, he dipped and he was cleansed. So what I want to draw out from that, I want you to remember that God had different ways of healing those people who all had the same disease. It wasn't the kind of situation where one shoe had to fit everyone. And the common disease which every person has is the disease of sin. When we're born with that disease and we need to get rid of it. And the important lesson for us to take hold of is the fact that regards to salvation, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord works in the way that he wants to work, and no two testimonies will ever be the same. Each person is an individual, and God has his own way of drawing each one to himself. Later on in this service today, there are probably around 120 to 140 people who will partake of the elements that are before us. And yet, here's the thing, not one of us have the same exact testimony as anyone else. Some in this gathering today were saved as children. Others, when we were teenagers. Others, when we were adults. But here's the common denominator. The common denominator is the grace of God. And if it were not for God's amazing grace, then none of us here today would be saved. None of us would be able to come and take of these elements, because we would never, ever be worthy enough on our own merits. But sadly, there are those here today who are still not saved. And I want to remind you that the scriptures make it absolutely clear that there is only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14 and verse 6, we read the words of Jesus. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Simply coming to This place of worship will never save you. Good works on their own will never save you. The giving of money and tithes will never save you. But rather you must repent of your sin and trust Jesus as your Savior. Over the years, I've talked with individuals about their need of salvation. And many people have said to me, well, Brian, it's a bit like this. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for something to happen. I'm waiting for something to happen, and then I'll know. Then I'll know it's my time. And it seems that some people are almost waiting for the same experience that Saul had on the Damascus Road. That big bright light, that voice that boomed from heaven. Very dramatic. And yes, that was his experience. But that was not the experience of anyone else. And if you're waiting for something like that, then most likely it's not going to happen. And I urge you to realize that God calls us in different ways, and very rarely is it a dramatic call the way Saul experienced. How does he call? He calls through his precious word. And maybe there have been other Sundays, maybe there have been times sitting in your own home, you've lifted God's word, you've been looking at God's word. God speaks through his word because his word is alive, his word is real. But it's possible even today that as you look on the table and see those elements and remind yourself of what they speak of the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus, then it's possible that those elements may be speaking to you. As we sang earlier, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's only through Jesus that you can know that cleansing. And maybe today he's calling you. Calling you not to take of elements, but calling you to repentance, calling you to that personal faith with Jesus. And so I say to you today, if you seek him, you will find him. And I say to you, seek him, while indeed he may be found. As we move on to the third lesson, which I draw to your attention from this miracle, it's a lesson that's repeated again and again throughout the scriptures. And that's the fact that spiritual blessing only and always comes in the pathway of obedience. In verse 14 of our reading, this is what Jesus said to the lepers, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it was only when they obeyed that they were healed. And the key to their cleansing and the key to this miracle being performed was the fact that the lepers took Jesus at his word. They could have listened and then said, "Oh, it's not for us, you know, we'll try some other way." But they took Jesus at his word. And because of their act of faith in his word, they received the blessing that they needed so much. The all-important words in verse 14 are, "as they went." As they went. And as they went, in other words, as they obeyed, they were cleansed of their leprosy. But again, doesn't this bring a massive challenge to our lives today? Are we being obedient to the word of God? Again, I say, if you're not saved, I tell you that you're being disobedient to the word of God. You know today, as you've come through those doors, you know your need of a Savior. You know, surely deep down, that only Jesus can save you. And yet the sad thing is, you continue to reject God's offer of salvation. Yes, you are a good person. And yes, you faithfully attend church meetings. But I wonder why. Why do you not obey the word of God? Why do you not repent of your sin? Why do you not lay down those puny arms of rebellion and say, well, here's my life, God. Take it. Change it. Mold it as you would. Maybe you would say that you hope to get to heaven. Most people that I meet will tell me that. Very few are daring enough to say, well, I'm just going to spend eternity in hell. Most people hope to get to heaven. But again, I stress to you today, you will only experience that if you obey God's word. The old hymn puts it like this, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And if you obey the word of God, then you can know the cleansing of sin. But if you continually disobey God and disobey his word, you will die rejecting Christ as your Savior. And one day, you will face God's awful wrath and judgment. But the matter of obedience to God's word is also paramount for every child of God. Here we are, we're coming to meet around his table. We're coming to remember his great sacrifice for us. And so I ask you, Christian, are you really being obedient to what God is saying to you in these days? Perhaps in recent times, God has been speaking into your life, but rather than being obedient, you resist the word of God. Why is that? Is the cost too great? Are you too comfortable in doing what you're doing? What is it that keeps you back from really obeying the Lord and really putting him first? The truth is, I don't know what's keeping you back, but I do know that if you're doing that, if you're constantly pushing God's word away and saying, well, some other time, if you're constantly doing that, I tell you, you're settling for second best. And you will lack that joy. You will lack that satisfaction of serving the Lord. Yes, you're following the Lord. But again, perhaps the truth is that in recent times, you've been following afar off, and familiarity has bred routine. Learn to obey the Lord. Learn to put him first in every area of your life. And that leads us nicely into the fourth lesson that we glean from this miracle. And that is that when we consider all that the Lord Jesus has done for us, surely the least we can do is to thank him and give our lives in full surrender to him. In verses 15 and 16, we read how just one leper came back and gave thanks to the Lord Jesus. The other nine, they did not return. And surely if Jesus had healed you, if today you had leprosy and you were healed, surely you would be thankful. Surely you'd be saying, well, that's brilliant. And yet the other nine just went their own way. But I wonder this morning, have you ever thanked the Lord Jesus for what he has done for you? Have you really taken time to thank him for leaving the ivory palaces for you? Have you ever thanked him for being willing to come down to be born in Bethlehem's manger for you? And we'll be thinking of that as we come closer to Christmas, that the one who created this world was willing to condescend and come down as that little babe born in a filthy manger and stable. Have you ever stopped and thanked him for being willing to live out those silent years in Nazareth for you? Have you ever thanked him for standing in Jordan's waters when he was baptized for you? Have you ever thanked him for defeating Satan as he wrestled in the wilderness and he was doing it for you? You ever thanked him for his 3 years of public ministry for you? But above all, I wonder, on this Communion Sunday, have you ever stopped to thank him for all that he endured in the Garden of Gethsemane? And then as he carried his own cross to Calvary, and as they wickedly put those nails through his hands and his feet and plunged that crown of thorns on his brow, as he gasped for breath, have you thanked him that he was willing to do that for you? Well, you see, when we really stop and remember, and that's what we'll be doing in a few moments, we'll be remembering. But surely when we stop and truly remember that all that Christ has done for us, then perhaps we have to be honest and say, sometimes we're so unthankful. Too often we are content to enjoy the gift and forget the giver. We're too quick to pray and ask for more, but often too slow to give thanks for what we've already received. Christian, let me be very direct and even blunt at this communion service. Let me ask you, when was the last time you thanked God for saving your soul? If you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, then you should be constantly coming back to say thank you. But I would also challenge you not only to thank him with words, but with the total dedication of your life. A full and glad surrender to the Master who gave us all for you. To surrender our time, our talents, our abilities, our finance, everything which God has given to us, may we be willing to hand it over. See, I think the truth is at times we want to hand over parts of that, but not at all. Remember that old hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give." That really how it is for you today, that you're saying, God hears all of it. Not just the scraps, not just the routine and the ritual, but hears all of me. Meager as I am, hears all of me. Take it and use it for your glory. The truth is that we live in a day and a generation we have so much compared to previous generations. When we look across the world, we realize that here in Northern Ireland, we have so much compared with undeveloped countries. Yes, we have so much, and yet so often, we take what we have for granted. Oh, it's so easy when we think about this miracle in Luke 17 to condemn the nine lepers who never came back. But at this communion service, I ask you, are we any better? The nine lepers, well, they wanted all the benefits of being healed, but that was as far as it went. Could that be like you today? You want the benefits of being saved, and especially you want to be sure that when this life's over that you'll be in heaven. But that's really as far as it goes. Today, right now, perhaps God's breath is stirring your heart, and today could be a wake-up call for you. And perhaps God is giving you a shake, and God is saying to you that he's had enough of your lethargy, that he's had enough of your indifference. I ask you today, as you afresh look at this table, how can you not be moved? Oh, to think that Jesus loved us so much that he gave his all for us. And yet perhaps you've adopted a take it or leave it attitude. Oh, I say to your brother or sister this morning, that cannot be right. Cannot be right that we just treat Jesus as an add-on, that we treat Jesus whatever way suits us. And so I would urge you to get back in step with the Lord. So we've been considering lessons from this well-known miracle. We've already noted 4. No one has ever called on the Lord for help and called in vain. The Lord does not deal with everyone in the same way. Spiritual blessing only comes and always comes in the pathway of obedience. We are to be thankful people. But in closing and briefly, let me leave with you one more lesson, and that's based on verse 19. And the lesson is this, that it's only when we have definitely come to the Lord, it's only when we have thanked him for all that he has done for us, that we have his word of assurance. Verse 19, Jesus said to the leper, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Oh, what wonderful words for that leper to have heard that day. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. You see, it's one thing to be cleansed, forgiven, and saved, but it's another thing to really know it and to live it out. Tell me this morning, do you really know it? Do you know for sure that you're saved? Evidence that you're sure of your salvation is that you will do what this leprous man did in verses 15 and 16. What did he do? He praised God in voice and threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. Such was his gratitude, such was his delight, that he praised Jesus and he threw himself down at the Master's feet. In a few moments, those of us who know and love the Lord, we're going to gather around his table. It's not my table, not the church's table, it's his table. And as we do that, may it not just be a familiar thing that breeds routine, but may we afresh praise and thank our Savior for all that he means to us. May we come just like that leper, as it were, throwing ourselves at his feet, praising him, thanking him, being filled with wonder that Jesus would ever cleanse us. May it be so for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, gracious God, we want to say thank you for the richness and the timelessness of your precious word. We thank you, Father, that we have been looking at a miracle that we know so well. We have heard that miracle, many of us, from childhood days. And yet as we think of all the implications contained therein, so we see its relevance even for us as we come around this table today. Father, would you forgive us if we have approached this day just as a matter of routine and ritual? Would you forgive us, Father, that if we approach the Lord's Day week by week in such a fashion? Would you forgive us, Father, if we've been following you afar off and our hearts have become cold, indifferent, that there's a cynical streak that has risen up within our lives? It's not how God wants us to live. And so we pray today that you will help us afresh They capture just the wonder of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And that each one who would name the name of Jesus, that we afresh would be filled with thanksgiving and praise. Oh, Father, forgive us because we're always coming and we're always asking for more. And yet at times we're slow in coming back and saying thank you, just like this miracle of the lepers. Make us a thankful people. Make us a people who are truly rejoicing in all that you have done for us. And day by day, may our lives speak of the Master. We pray, dear God, for those who have come through our doors with trouble of one kind or another. Health troubles, marital problems, financial difficulties. So the list could go on, Lord. And yet we do thank you today that no trouble is too big for our God to deal with. And we thank you, O Father, that indeed when we flee to you, we can know your help. So we pray that just as also as the psalmist said, that God is our refuge and strength in time of trouble. May that be the experience of any who find themselves in that situation today. We would also want to pray, Lord, for those who are troubled spiritually. God, would you continue, if they're not saved, would you continue to trouble them? Would you continue to remind them of the awful state that they're in? We would pray even this day that there might be joy of hearing of others putting their trust in Christ. So, Lord, speak on, because it's only you who can speak on. We pray all these things in our Savior's glorious name. Amen.